Good to see everybody with us this morning. If you are visiting with us, I'd like to welcome you to our services. We do not have a full-time evangelist working with us at this time, so we're just sharing in the responsibilities to do some preaching, so that's why I'm up here today. So I always think it's kind of important to kind of discuss a little bit what kind of motivated me to present this lesson. For one, I'm stealing it. So I'm stealing a portion of it. Some of us, or most of us, might know Brian Dawkins, and recently, I think it was last month or so, he put some thoughts on his, I get it through email, and I was reading through that, and I thought that was a good way of presenting some material. And also I think that, you know, as we even talked about this morning, that sometimes we need to go back and think about those kind of elementary principles and be reminded of things. We talked in our class this morning in 1 John how that's exactly what the Holy Spirit led John to do, to remind them of things that they already knew. So this is a pretty basic lesson, but hopefully it'll spur some thought this morning and nothing really new, but maybe just a little different approach when it comes to that. I go up, right, Zach? Oh, I go right. There you go. So we're going to talk about baptism this morning. Which baptism, if you've been baptized, which baptism were you baptized with? Are there different baptisms when we come to the scriptures? I think there are. We'll discuss that just a little bit. So in Acts chapter 19, I'll have all the slides up here, all the verses up here, and the highlighting here, I'd like to thank Zach because I put it in red and he changed it because it didn't show up too good. So I made it into yellow, so hopefully you can see that. The highlighting is mine, it's not in your Bibles, but so let's go ahead and read this. And in Acts chapter 19, it says, it came about that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, "No. We had not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into then what were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him. This is in Jesus." And when they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. And they were in all about 12 men. So first off, let's just talk about this. So we understand that this period of time, as Paul was writing here, or as he was journeying, at this time in Acts chapter 19, let's set a date to this, because I think that's important in our study this morning. This was probably in the early 60s, so probably about 30 years after the death of Christ. He comes about and he finds these individuals that were baptized into John's baptism. So there's one baptism. So what is John's baptism? Just quickly, as it says here, there in verse 4, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. So John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, and actually other passages talking about forgiveness of sins, but it was looking forward to Christ. And John's, the only indication that we have is John's the only one that baptized. John's baptism, you have to be baptized by John. That's the only examples we have in Scripture. So as we see here that Paul directs them a little different, we're going to be coming back to this passage. But as we go through, when we move on into Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 4, we see in this text it says there is one body and one spirit, just we're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So now we have, in this period of time, probably about 10 years later, maybe even less, maybe even 6 years later, Paul says here that there's one baptism. When we just saw that there was John's baptism and the baptism in the name of Jesus. So there are two. So just 5 years later, we come down to one. So there is one baptism. Were you baptized into that one baptism? Or could you have been baptized into John's baptism? Or others? In our culture today, you know, there's a lot of misunderstanding about baptism. Some people just don't have the knowledge and they haven't studied and they don't understand what the Bible teaches about baptism. Some churches, some denominations teach things that are not in the Bible. Different baptisms. So what baptism were you baptized into? So let's kind of explore that a little bit this morning. In Acts 2, very well-known passage, it says, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" And also in Acts 22 and verse 16, it says, "Now speaking of Paul, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." If you believe that you receive forgiveness of sins prior to your baptism, you weren't baptized according to the scripture. These passages teach us, as it says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Sadly, there's a lot of people that are misled, don't understand, that are baptized for other reasons than what this says. So once again, if you believe that you were forgiven of sins because of whatever you had done prior to your baptism, that's not so. Then you weren't baptized in the baptism of Jesus. We can put any name on it. You're baptized into a baptism that's not in Scripture. What about another concept? In Colossians 2 and verse 9 starting, it says, "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." Do you believe that you were buried with him in baptism? The Bible teaches. If you believe that you were buried with Christ prior to baptism, then when you were baptized, you weren't baptized in the baptism of Jesus. Our baptism is a burial with him. We go on to Romans chapter 6. In fact, it's in your bulletin this morning. There's so many concepts here in Romans chapter 6. But sadly, in our culture, in our religious culture today, these are somewhat misunderstood a lot. So in Romans 6, starting at verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase?" So the concept here is those people in Rome, as Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was speaking to them, they kind of thought, well, you know, if we sin, God's grace is going to cover our sin and deal with our sin, so it's a good thing to get God's grace. So if I sin a little, I'll have a little bit of God's grace, but if I sin a lot, I'd have more of God's grace. So that was not the correct attitude. And we see that here. What should we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? What does he say? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin, notice some of these comments. We died to sin that we still live in it. Or do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ, have been baptized into his death? If you believe that you were in Christ, or that you were, as it says here, that you were dead to sin prior to your baptism, when you were baptized, if you were baptized, that wasn't the baptism of Jesus. Because this is teaching us, was it saved? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, Jesus, have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him. That's what baptism does for us. We're buried with him. We go down into the water. We're buried with him through baptism into death in order that Christ raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we might walk in newness of life. If you believe that you had newness of life prior to your baptism, you weren't baptized with the one baptism that we read about in Scripture. That newness of life came through baptism. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, and the body of sin might be done away with. Once again, if you believe that your old self was done away with, your body of sin was done away with prior to your baptism, you weren't baptized for the right reason. That was not Jesus' baptism. Verse 7, and he who died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that you will also live with him. In order to live with Christ, we have to go through Jesus' baptism. If you believe that you did or are living with Christ and you haven't been baptized, you're believing something that's not true. It's false. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is a master over him, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And all this comes about through one of the important points of salvation, through baptism. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29, it says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So going back to verse 26, for you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For, how did that come about? For all who were baptized into Christ. If you believe, or if you believe now that you are in Christ and you haven't gone through Jesus' baptism, you're believing something that's not true. We're baptized into Christ. We're clothed with Christ. That comes through baptism. It doesn't come through an acknowledgement that Jesus is the Messiah. It doesn't come through saying the sinner's prayer. It amazes me the misconceptions that we have in religion today. It amazes me that this is my own thinking, that on a, on a topic of salvation, on what we need to do to be saved, that people will say you need to say the sinner's prayer when the sinner's prayer isn't even in Scripture. You mean to tell me God kind of forgot to put it there? The very thing that they say gets us into a right relationship with God is not even there? But it is there. And we're just talking about baptism today. And, you know, sometimes we get criticized that we teach on baptism too much, but it's the whole package. You know, that we need to hear God's word. We need to do other things. But we are just talking about baptism. On what, you know, which baptism we were baptized with. And it goes on to say that we're picking it up in verse 27 again. For all of you baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And as you come on down, the latter part of 28, that we're in Christ Jesus. We get into that, into Him through baptism. So if you believe you're in Christ and you haven't been baptized with Jesus' baptism, you can't be. The Bible doesn't teach that. First Corinthians chapter 12. Building upon that same point. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit you are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, for we're all made to drink of one Spirit. So we're baptized into one body. And as we go and we understand Ephesians chapter 1, it says He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. So going back, so we understand that we're baptized into His body. We understand that His body is the church. If you believe that you're in the church and you haven't been baptized with Jesus' baptism, the Bible does not agree with that. If you believe that you might have been saved 20 years ago or whatever, and you believe that you're in the church, and then a certain time in your life you felt that you need to be baptized as an act of obedience to God, you were baptized with a baptism that the Bible does not teach. Because the Bible teaches that when we're baptized into His body, which is the church. The only way that you or I can be in the church is to be baptized in Jesus' baptism. What about salvation? If you believe that you were saved prior to your baptism, then you weren't baptized according to the baptism that the Bible teaches. In Mark 16, verse 16, it says, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved." If you think that you were saved because of your belief, that's not what the Bible teaches. If you're there now, you believe you're in a right relationship with God and you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized. Also in 1 Peter 3. Verse 21, and corresponding to that baptism, let me just give you a little bit of the context. There it's talking about Noah and how he was saved. It's a fascinating concept. We think about Noah and the ark and everything that happened, and we think that he was saved because he was on the boat. It's not what God said. If you go back in that passage, it said that they were saved through the water, not through the boat. And water has always been, and even there, is used as that cleansing agent. God cleansed the world of sin with water. And then we come right in this context, and corresponding to that, to what? To that water. What water did during the time of Noah. Corresponding to that baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after the angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to Him. So once again, if you believe that you were saved prior to you being baptized, then obviously when you were baptized, you weren't baptized with the reason or for the reason that the Bible teaches. So where would that put us today? Going back to one of the texts we hit earlier in Acts chapter 19, he said, into what then were you baptized? Were you baptized into, as we see here, into Jesus' baptism, in the name of Jesus. As you come on down, in verse 4, and Paul said, John baptized with baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him. I'm sorry, in verse 5, and when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So these people were baptized, and what did they need to do? They were baptized in John's baptism, which was a great thing. But they need to be baptized into Jesus' baptism. In the name of Jesus is what it says. They're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what about you? What about I? Was I baptized for the right reason? If I was baptized like so many denominations and different, you know, different of our friends that are misled or might be trying to deceive us, baptized with the reason of just as an act of obedience, that's not Jesus' baptism. I have to be baptized not into John's baptism, not into the baptism of such and such denomination, not into the baptism of what so-and-so told me to do, not into all these different, there's a lot of different baptism. Not into, we understand that baptism means to immerse, not into sprinkling, not into pouring. We need to do just what the Bible tells us to do. And then and only then will we have the blessings that come with that. That we're then in Christ, that we're clothed with Christ, that we're buried with Christ, that we're in the church, that we're saved. So where do you fall? Have you been baptized for the right reason? And it's just a reminder to remind us, you know, to go back to some of these teachings that we know so well that we need to be reminded from time to time that we need to stand on the truth. So when we're teaching our friends and people we come in contact with and they say, well, yeah, I was baptized. Well, we have to understand, we want to make sure that they were baptized with Jesus' baptism. Not with the baptism of denomination or John's baptism or anything else. You can put anything in that regard. So where are you today? Are you ready to be baptized into Jesus? Do you believe that you're saved without baptism? The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that you need to give your life to God, take that old self and bury it in the waters of baptism so that you can be raised in newness of life. I encourage you to consider that as we'll stand and sing our invitation song.